a few days after GE announced it would become three companies, some other major conglomerates are following suit. Johnson & Johnson said today it is splitting in two. One company will focus on consumer products and the other on pharmaceuticals. Let's bring in Michael Regan, senior editor of Bloomberg News. All right, Mike, what's going on? First GE, now J&J. Both of these companies have been single entities for decades. Why is J&J doing this now?
Well, it's something that they've actually considered for several years. And as for why now, CEO Alex Gorsky was on Bloomberg TV this morning explaining that they've seen some pretty dramatic changes in consumer behavior when it comes to personal care items, especially in the age of COVID. And they've also seen a big shift in how those type of products are sold and marketed because of e-commerce and social media influencers and whatnot. So it really makes the differences between the consumer business and the pharmaceutical and medical device business much greater. And one thing I'd point out is, you know, he didn't mention this, but obviously the last couple of years, J&J has had a COVID vaccine they needed to get to the market. And so I think it's a safe guess that they really needed to focus on that entirely before they could kind of roll up their sleeves and do a big shakeup like this, Colin.
Yes, I guess that's fair. They've had their hands full. But if we pull back a little bit, I mean, we see other companies. Toshiba is another one that has also announced a split up. So there's some kind of trend here, Mike. What are the advantages these companies see in breaking up?
You know, it's funny. I keep thinking of the old sitcom 30 Rock. The Alec Baldwin character had the title at GE of Vice President of East Coast Television and Microwave Oven Programming. But I think there's, you know, there's an important observation embedded in that joke. And it's basically about how corporate America, for years and years, they thought the best thing to do was just to keep getting bigger, keep buying additional businesses and sort of bolt them on to the current company and turn into these big, giant conglomerates. And Callum, the wisdom of that has really been called into question over recent years, I'd say over the last decade. And a big reason is, you know, how can you manage TV programming and microwave ovens? You know, there's not a chance to sort of focus on one business the way you would want to improve the growth and the prospects of each individual business.
Sure. On the other hand, though, I mean, the logic of a big conglomerate is that the steady sales of one corporate division can help offset losses in another division if it's all part of one company. So like in J&J's case, now the pharmaceutical division is going to be a separate company. And if a potential blockbuster drug goes bust, well, that company's on its own and it doesn't have consumer products to cushion it. So there are risks here too, aren't there?
There are. And, you know, that is sort of the logic for turning into a conglomerate with a diversity of business lines. But when it comes to J&J, you know, that pharmaceutical side of the business has a lot of important drugs. It's been a big source of growth for the company to the point where the consumer end of the business only accounts for about 17% of sales. So it is a cushion, but really not that huge of a cushion. And investors really want to see a company with strong growth. They're willing to take a little bit of risk as far as, if a blockbuster drug falls through or comes off of patent. They're willing to take on that risk in exchange for what they perceive will be a stronger growth profile going forward when you focus just on the pharmaceuticals and medical devices, which I think is some of the logic behind why they're doing this.
Sure. And for what it's worth, investors seem to like it, at least in the short run, because J&J's shares rose this morning after this news. That's Mike Regan, senior editor for Bloomberg News. Mike, thanks as always.
Thank you, Callum.